Good morning. Here I am again. It's Sunday morning, and before I go to worship, I'll have this devotional time with you. Father, we thank you for this day. We pray that you would bless us in it, not just now during this devotional time, but through the whole day, as from beginning to end, we worship you. And Father, I thank you for it. I pray that you would be with me now as I do this devotional. Help me to do it to your honor and praise. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, today I want to speak about, and it's really not enough time to go into depth with this, but I want to speak about why we as Christians worship the Lord on Sunday, in particular, not why not Saturday? Why not the Sabbath? And a lot of people have said, basically Seventh-day Adventists, is that the reason we do this is because of the Roman Church and all this, and it has nothing to do with Scripture, and that the Sabbath never changes. That's what you hear. The Sabbath never changes, and that's interesting because I've seen that it changed even in the Old Testament time, before Jesus was even born into this world. If you look at Exodus 20, you see it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. The thing I want you to notice about this, we rest on the Sabbath day. That's what it says. You do no work, you're a stranger. That's all going to be the same. But what is different was the reason. The first time God gave us the Sabbath rest, the reason for resting was because he created the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. And so the reason was creation. God is the creator. We worship him as creator. And so the reason is creation. But then in Deuteronomy 5, we see something different. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember," this is the part I want you to notice, "and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15. There you will notice a different reason for keeping the Sabbath day. There's a change in the Sabbath. Oh, no, there's not a change. They'll say, no, yes, there is. The first time they were to observe the Sabbath because of God the Creator. The second time, they are to observe the Sabbath because God is the Redeemer. He saved them from their slavery in Egypt. Now, he is the Redeemer of us as well, isn't he? He doesn't save us, though, from slavery in Egypt. I have personally never been a slave in Egypt. In fact, I've never been to Egypt at all. Not once, not even close. I've not even been over that. I've been over the Pacific Ocean, but not over the Atlantic Ocean. I've never been to that particular place, Egypt. And so I've never been a slave there. But what have I been a slave to? I've been a slave to sin. Whoever commits sin, Jesus says, is a slave to sin. And I've committed sin, and so have all of you. You've all committed sin at one time or another. And so the purpose changed from creation to redemption. From Deuteronomy, from Exodus to Deuteronomy, it changed. It's sort of like chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Revelation. Chapter 4 is God the Creator, but then chapter 5 is focused on the Lamb and His dying for us, His redemption. And that's the great redemption, isn't it? When we look to the Old Testament, we see that it's all pointing, even the Passover, 1 Corinthians 5, 7, Jesus is our Passover. It points to Christ. It points forward. And every time the Jewish people would observe the Sabbath on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, it showed that they were looking forward to their Redeemer's coming. Another redemption, greater than the redemption of Egypt, was the redemption from our sin. And so when we see the disciples meeting in the New Testament, they no longer meet on Saturday. God's people no longer meet on Saturday. There's not one instance of a Sabbath day worship by Christians, by believers. It says in Acts 20, verse 7, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Paul was preaching to believers on the first day of the week, which was Sunday. And why is that? Because Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's the day that Christ resurrected from the dead. And that's why that became the new day of worship for Christians. We see something similar in Revelation 1:10 when John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." He's treating it as special, even though he's in prison at Patmos and alone. And he says, "I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet." Now, the Seventh-day Adventists will say to me, "But that's just a couple of verses, only one or two verses talking about the Lord's Day, about the first day." And I will say, "Well, where are the New Testament verses talking about Christians worshiping on the Sabbath? Give me even one." And there is not one. There are zero verses about Christians worshiping on the Sabbath. Well, what about Paul? This is another thing, and I know I'm keeping this short. It says in Acts 18, verse 4, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." Paul had a practice. It says, and I think there's probably other verses that say similar things, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath." That means he was debating with people. He was evangelizing non-believers on the Sabbath. That's what Paul was doing on the Sabbath when he had become a believer. He was no longer worshiping with them, but he was reasoning with them, trying to persuade them. It says he persuaded both Jews and Greeks. And so the day of worship for Paul as a believing Christian after he had been converted from Phariseeism was no longer Saturday. This was the day that he used Saturday for doing his evangelism because he knew the Jews would be in the synagogue. But on Sunday, he met with Christians. Now, some people will say, well, God has abandoned that commandment altogether. We don't need to worship at all. I worship God in the woods, or I worship God by listening to the radio or watching TV or putting in a tape or something like that. I can stream the worship I want any day of the week. And yet Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 10, then let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. I think if you go to Acts 2, you see the disciples worshiping together daily, which is maybe not as practical for all of us today. But we see there's an example, and there is a command to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together in Scripture. And I believe the Sabbath of the Old Testament corresponds with the Lord's Day of the New Testament in this way. Just like the Passover looked forward to Christ coming and dying as the Lamb of God for our sins, so he is memorialized in the Lord's Supper. Just as circumcision showed us that Abraham's seed would bleed and die for our sins, so we have baptism in the New Testament, a non-bloody sign showing us Jesus as our Savior. All four of those covenant signs point to Christ, and I believe the Sabbath was meant to point to Christ too. Old Testament believers looked forward every week to the redemption that they would finally have in Christ. The Sabbath was set at the end of the week because they were always looking for the Messiah to come. And yet for us, Messiah Christ has already come. He rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And so on the first day of the week, we meet together to celebrate the redemption that we already have in Christ. When he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." When Christ rose from the dead, we knew we had forgiveness. We knew we had redemption because of what he has already done. And so we have the first day of the week where we worship and we go and we meet together. We assemble ourselves together so that we will not sin. Because if we sin willfully, there is a certain fearful judgment. And I do believe a lot of people, one of the ways you tell a believer from a non-believer, a true believer, I mean, is they will worship together. They will desire to come together on a Sunday to worship. And so this is just a short message. You know, maybe sometime I'll do a whole passage, a whole sermon on this. There's a lot of passages that I skipped where Jesus talks about being the Lord of the Sabbath. And that is another whole topic that could be added to this, but I'm not going to do that today. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for these passages that talk about the Sabbath day and also about the Lord's Day and why we worship on Sunday, not Saturday. I know for me it has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. It has to do with what Scripture teaches. It has to do with honoring our Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the things that are important to me. Father, I thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, thank you. Amen.